This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, what's it look like now? NFL draft night one, obviously done. The Texans did not make a selection. A lot of, like, just run on players that you would have imagined dovetailed nicely with what the Texans would have liked to do, what some of the reporting was that they would do, what some of the mocks anticipated they might do. Those players kind of went. Seemed like Nick Caserio saw the vibes pretty early, let him tell it, and was like, well, we might need to trade back. Mm-hmm. And so they made what I wouldn't necessarily, somebody on was asking us if it was a chess move. I don't know if it would be a chess move, but I feel like it was more.
Or plan B.
There are different kinds of moves in chess, I guess, but it felt like a very good contingency was used.
Yeah.
So you trade back, you allow the Giants to go up and take their pick, and you get some more. You get 34, mm-hmm. which is the second pick of the second round, in addition to the 58th pick that you had, which was a later pick in the second round. And then you add 79 in addition to your 89, or sorry, you add 99 in addition to your 79 and 89, where you have three picks, all 10 picks apart mm-hmm. in the third round, and you move into day two of the NFL draft. Who do you like? What are you looking for? Now what for the Texans as they move along the 2025 NFL draft?
Look, and this isn't me coping or whatever you however you want to put it.
Cope.
But this is a really interesting day in terms of how they approach it.
Fascinating.
And to your point, this to me, this is a plan B. You know, they were putting together this project, and then the drill bit broke. All right, so now what?
I got a screwdriver in here.
Yes. So how do I fix it now? What do I, you know, now what? And there's a lot of now what questions that need to be asked. And I think the number one question is if they were targeting an offensive lineman, and it seems, reading between the lines of what Nick Caserio said, et cetera, that they were, didn't happen. Do they even go offensive lineman with the 34th pick? Because if you look at ESPN just updated, you know, the top, I believe they had like 30. Yeah, well, they have more, but 30 on their initial, post here. If you look at the top 30 players available, none of the top 12 are an offensive lineman. So do they even go offensive lineman?
With 34?
With 34.
You got to go best player available, right? And I'm saying that loosely. I'm not saying get a safety or like that. But whatever you're needed, you got to go with the best player.
I mean, Reggie, that's the top dozen players, and you're picking the second pick today. None of those, according to them, and I saw a USA Today one as well, that absolutely didn't have an offensive lineman among their top dozen players available today either. Do you even like say, screw it, we'll get an offensive lineman later?
Well, I don't know if you go as far as actually saying screw it, but I do think that you are in a place where it is possible that maybe you get a player that does not fit that same kind of thought process. Mm-hmm. But because of all of the ammunition that you have, you might move and improve that 58 into something that's a little bit closer to 34, and then just double dip in this mm-hmm. talent-rich area of these kind of first round, second round, like, you know, tweener grades, mm-hmm. and maybe fish in that pond a little bit. And maybe not do the thing that some folks on the text line are being a little bit unserious, and I say that with love and tenderness, about trade all the second and third round picks and get 16 picks in the fourth round, and maybe not do that. But like someone like Luther Burden is out there.
Well, that's the second part.
Do you like Luther Burden? Because there's him, and then there's another one I mentioned. I got a text about this. Travion Henderson, is that an interesting guy to you? Like get your running back here? Because Travion Henderson, I think he fits the profile of something that the Texans would like in that, you know, you look at his, you know, his history, and he's kind of a leadership guy, voted a captain. I think he took NIL money and bought his mom's a house. Like, that's kind of the type of guy that they like. Plus, mm-hmm. he is quick. He's athletic. And I think that pairs nicely with the running back room that you have. And then on top of that, and this is maybe the biggest thing out of all of that, he's a good pass blocker mm-hmm. at a running back position. And that's something that they like and something that they probably need more of in that room. Like, could it be that they just go, we get that guy, and know that there's still a nice crop of linemen that, as you're kind of pointing to, maybe yeah. teams aren't necessarily going to have a run on early, or maybe you even still get into a place where maybe you find another pick in the 40s range mm-hmm. where you can still get into that place. Because as I said, that I don't, if there's not a run, I remembered that just a little while ago, somebody, I believe Daniel Jeremiah, at Move the Sticks on Twitter said, quote, and this is at 9:53 a.m. today, "I believe we'll see an early run on wide receivers tonight." Mm-hmm. So maybe that run happens. They want to get involved there with like a pass catcher or a running back, and then they circle back around to linemen here a little bit later.
Yeah, to me, that's the second part of this, of the now what. I think wide receiver would have to be in play at 34 because Luther Burden has been ranked higher than 34, you know, in the consensus picks or whatever. But I honestly think running back is in play. I might get my running back.
Okay, so so you're in on the idea of the Travion Henderson.
Well, Travion Henderson, remember they had Caleb Johnson in a top 30 visit?
Out of Iowa, yeah.
Judkins is out there. Quinchon Judkins. And then later on, you know, maybe if you don't go running back here, you got Scottaboo still out there. Scottaboo's still out there.
Man, you're just really trying to get that.
I'm not.
Trying
I'm
to up saying, the grit profile.
I'll just put it this way. The grit. The deepest position right now is running back.
Okay.
Yeah. In all terms right. of top 60,
well, deepest, 50, how much do you need to get that 34 then?
I was about to say, if it is the deepest, you might want to wait until later.
Yeah, but
on.
You do that with offensive linemen. How'd that work out?
Well, you didn't necessarily do that with offensive linemen. You didn't really have a great choice, and it seemed like, again, Nick was fairly frustrated about the possibility of not finding a trade partner in order to make a move to move up and doing things.
And they had no choice but to kind of wait a little bit.
All right, if you want to talk about the now what as we continue to look at, right, the positions that we were kind of interested in, the positions that made a decent amount of us frustrated yesterday, not being able to tap into the various talents that were there, offensive line and wide receiver. Which of those that still remain are you most interested in? And there's a lot of space that you could go with because over the second and third round, you have so much capital. And Nick Caserio, I don't know that he takes all five of the selections, mind you. Yeah. So I do think that there's a possibility to move even within all of this range. But so anywhere through day two, wide receivers and linemen that you like and that you're comfortable with.
Well, to your first part of the question, like, you know, what intrigues me the most at 34? And I know, you know, they've got four other picks today as well. But still, the other thing that we always have to remind ourselves, just because the consensus among mock drafts has someone like Luther Burden, you know, as the best available receiver, that doesn't mean the Texans think Luther Burden is the best available receiver. I'm still thinking about Trey Harris, the wide receiver from Ole Miss. Yeah, and that might be one where if the Texans are like, you know, big dude, fast dude, big, you know, well, not extremely fast, but, you know, good runs.
4.54, so he's actually a little bit
slow. Yeah, runs good routes.
Like, he ran a slower 40 than Tech
McMillan. Radius and catchability and all that stuff. I like him a lot. And if the Texans do, well, then there you go. It might be Trey Harris at 34. If not that, it might be a running back. You to Figgy's point, if it's deep, yeah, it's deep, but now you got your pick of just about all of them except for two, you know, and so it might be running back that
was shocked.
That intrigues me the most,
especially with the history of the Texans not really getting the running back too early.
Yeah,
if you maybe I think there's still some really good opportunities on the board to try and attack here, and as you mentioned, there's still some running backs that I think are in that same kind of tier or a bucket of players. But when we get into that space, and especially in the third round, I still think that there are some linemen that can be starting caliber linemen. Mm-hmm. And let me start with Tate Ratledge. I think Tate Ratledge out of Georgia very much feels like a guy that could be that, and especially as I'm looking at it. And maybe you could tell me if I'm maybe looking at this in a wrong way, but a offensive lineman that can be starting caliber is something that I find interesting. Because there's a few of these guys like Ariante Ursary, who maybe has some consistency things that he still wants to work out. He's a tackle out of Minnesota that looks like he would probably be in that kind of late second, third round range. As a tackle, let me make sure I have that grading right for him. No, he's a second round grade, straight up second round grade.
Yeah.
Charles Grant is a William and Mary guy, smaller school guy in the third round grade on him that I know that they've talked to. And then you even get into like Chase Lynn out of UConn that they talked to in the fourth round.
Yeah.
But those are guys that I don't know that I'm certain of are immediately coming in and competing in a real way for a starting spot. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much that matters to people, but I do wonder if that is, I mean, if you're going to get a player of a certain caliber, if that's the way that you want to go, or at least try and vary those and get a guy who can maybe compete for a starting job and maybe a guy who's a little bit more projected. But I feel like Ratledge feels like he very much, and these are the guards, mind you, Ratledge feels like he very much has an opportunity to jump in and immediately compete, even though there's some stuff that I imagine you still want to see upside on, and maybe he doesn't have as much of the athleticism at times. Savainea, yeah, something to that effect. I apologize again for not saying his name correctly. But that's another guy out of Arizona that I think as a guard can get you to that place where he has an opportunity to try and start early. I think that those are the types of players that I'd be interested in seeing in the second round today.
Let me ask you this, though, and I think this is going to be very, very intriguing. If you had to guess, who is that player that was available, that is still available on Nick Caserio's board? He said it. Very candid, very unlike him. Because if you look at these players that we're talking about, best available according to all these services and et cetera, very few are linemen, very few are wide receivers, even fewer are linemen. And then there's the running. Who do you think that might be? Like he said, still on the board, and there's only one pick before they go at 34.
Luther Burden still feels like some of that because of like a highly regarded wide receiver in some ways, but I don't. I mean, because there's edges that are really good in that space, but I don't know. Would it like Jalen Knoll be something that you're interested in? But he feels like he falls in, with all due respect, to like that next crop of wide receivers where you're talking
is
about
Tate Ratledge
Knoll and Higgins. Well, Ratledge also feels like he fell into that next bucket of players
I know,
as well.
But again, but we don't know what they think.
Yeah, that is fair.
We don't know what they think.
That is fair. but I think that, you know, you talk about Knoll feels like he falls in with that Besh and Higgins and that kind of group of wide receivers. Burden is one of the few guys that feels like he fell in with a higher kind of pool and bucket of players. I just am I guess some people have talked about Nick Scorton as a potential like edge, but the edge that they could see in going forward. There's some other edges that are still there, like Mike Green or whatever, that are out there. But yeah, man, it just keeps seeing it feeling like it's pointing to Burden in a way. And I'll be interested to see if that's where they go to get a guy who has speed, a guy who has an ability to make things happen in space, to give to Nick Kalen this offense.
Yeah, and there are some that have the center from Georgia, Jared Wilson.
Someone else, Jared Wilson, the center?
Yeah. How about a center?
That almost feels like, I think he sounds like a good player. The question I have is that proper asset allocation? Because
the interior line.
It is the interior line.
That's part of the interior line.
No, but I know. But center in particular, unless I don't know. I don't have much on how flexible he is to play other positions. And I know that you feel like Juice can play at guard or what have you.
Yeah.
But he feels like he's probably better situated to play center as well with Jarrett Patterson. There, you already have two centers in the fold. And I understand that there's not necessarily a lot of certainty that those guys are absolutely the guy. However, if you have two guys there that you're willing to play there, I do wonder, is a good asset allocation to add another one, especially if it does not seem like this team is ready to move on from those dudes?
Again, it depends on where you think he might play and more specifically where you think, you know, what Juice can do. But you know, it's intriguing. Like he flat out said, the guy is still there, and it may well be. It may not even be the guy they take at 34. They passed it on him already, so.
Any chance that Nick is looking at the defensive side of the football, because I know there's people that have been really, really clamoring for Will Johnson. I know that Siobhan Revel is still out there, although he seems like he fits very nicely just as a second round kind of guy anyways. Is there any chance that you're looking that you see some like defensive guys early, especially if you go into the interior defensive line where, you know, it feels like that was a potential place where they could add.
I think there's absolutely a chance.
Or Will Johnson. Will Johnson is another name as a cornerback, although you have a lot of those.
You got a lot of cornerbacks. I don't know about that, but again, you know, the way they've built this team with the defense and all the way they've done it, I think it would be a less likely but not unlikely because they love, and D'Amico's a defensive head coach.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate the person who got out here on the text line and said, and maybe this is their rationalization and their cope. If they had been told before yesterday that you wouldn't have a first round pick, but you'd have an opportunity to mm-hmm. have a top five wide out, a top five, or not top five wide out, top 15 wide out, top 15 offense lineman, but top five, possibly running back, tight end, and have all of those in day two, that they would have been happy and good with that. And obviously, like, I don't know that you're going to get top five in all of those various different spaces, but you do have a shot at doing some of that, especially with some maneuverability that you have.
Yeah. What about tight end? We haven't mentioned tight end.
Yeah, tight end. And this was something that coming into, and I thank you for bringing this up because I did kind of neglect it. Coming into the draft, we were saying that day two could be an interesting opportunity to get a tight end. Someone like, I think you had fallen Arroyo in love with Franklin. And Arroyo feels a little, well, I guess all these guys in this middle space feel a little bit more like, not in line, but kind of a split tight ends. Mm-hmm. Harold Fannin is a guy who has gotten a lot of love, but
the kid from LSU, Mason
Taylor. Right, Mason Taylor. I forgot. Who is Jason Taylor's son, and in a funny way, that is a what's my goodness, I forgot her name at FS1.
You're talking about
goodness gracious on the TV show who was in the
Joy
lawsuit.
Taylor?
Joy,
no,
Joy Taylor, her nephew.
Yeah.
That was, that was a lot of work for very little juice.
Joy,
I apologize.
You're the latest news on
how's
Joy
she
Taylor?
Doing right about now?
I don't know how she's doing, but I know what she's likely doing.
What does that mean?
Look it up.
By the way, they need to bring back that show with Skip, Shannon, and Joy Taylor. Yeah, that'd be a hell of a show right now.
They wouldn't be allowed to have that show, friend. And if they did have that show, I'd wonder what the location would be. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Excited to see What is in store for the Texans in the second day of the draft, second round, third round, fourth round, all sorts of things going on, and you'll be able to hear live coverage, up-to-the-minute updates right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we'll do what we always do at this time, which is give you our lunchtime confessions presented by the Men's Clinic. Let's do that.
All right, so we all know, and nobody here is doing the old poor me thing anywhere on this station. But we all have been getting a little punchy the last couple of days. You know, late Rockets game.
I don't know what you're talking about.
A few pops last night. Late draft.
Who had pops last night?
I had pops last night. I had some waiting for Tyler and he didn't show up. Huh. Oh well.
You can't blame him. He actually stayed. It looks like, according to his Instagram, he stayed out there. He stayed out there at the draft party through the rain.
But we got a little punchy, right? I got a little punchy. That's the way it is. Stayed up late. Got up early. So I turned on Seth Payne's YouTube, his YouTube live stream. Well, it wasn't live when I saw it, but either way. And this was absolute gold. As much as we all get a little punchy, I don't think anyone, with good reason, because he stayed up to watch the draft and do, by the way, up until the wee hours, his live stream reaction to the draft, and then get up early to do the show this morning. But this is what it sounds like when it maybe gets a little too much.
No, I got to go to bed soon. I can't react into the Nick Caserio presser, but I got to listen to it in the morning before the show comes on anyway. Excuse my language, everybody. Let's find the Nick Caserio presser. We're going to do it right here. No sleep, adapt and adjust. All right, we're going to find the Nick Caserio presser, and I will, here we go. Nick Caserio, why did you leave me so? Lurching around, not knowing where I was, hoping that you would pick somebody at 25. All right.
He's freestyling at 1 in the morning.
I wouldn't call that freestyling, but that's delightful. That is delightful.
That's called filibustering.
Yes, it is.
That's called you need to get some sleep.
I do love how he did the rationalization that moment. He's like, man, no, I can't do one more. I got to go to bed. However,
you know what?
I would have to do it in the morning anyways.
Yeah. Bleep it.
That's kind of like if you out and about and you hitting these streets and you know you got to go to work in the morning and everybody like, hey, man, just come to this last part. You know what? Screw it. I'm out here late.
That is exactly what happened there.
I'm out in these streets already. I might as well go to another spot.
I honestly don't know if he got any sleep last night.
Yeah, no sleep until we pick.
That was after
no
one.
No sleep until the Texans pick.
I doubt it.
So yesterday taught me at least two things about myself.
Mm-hmm.
So in going to the draft party, because all three of us went.
Yeah.
And I decided to hitch a ride from Lopez. Mm-hmm. So I met you at your crib, and we took an Uber together.
Yeah.
And our Uber driver was from Venezuela.
Yes, he was.
And you guys spoke almost exclusively in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things I learned about myself is that, oh, I actually understand Spanish a lot better than I thought I did.
You didn't participate, but you knew what we
were talking
about.
I didn't say I could speak Spanish better than I thought I could. I know I can speak Spanish about as good as I think I can, but I can understand it. We're picking it up.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is, I am a lot worse at remembering names than I thought I was, because we met a lot of fantastic listeners out there, and you know, other folks that were just out there to watch the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And ask me how many names I remember right now.
How many names do you remember right now? Zero?
Zero. And we had great conversations. Yeah. I was hanging out with folks, and I'm like, what was her name again?
Yeah.
Started with like a J or something. I ain't got nothing. And it's not their fault. It's my fault, because this has been like a recurring trend for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, nah, I'm fine. It's just I didn't try and say their name. I didn't use the tools or the weapons that you have in order to help you remember stuff. I tried.
Saying it out loud back to them?
Couldn't remember names.
That's a good.
I'm going to need to start like writing names down for folks. Like as soon as, what'd you say it was again? Yeah? Okay. All right. Put that in my pocket for later. I can't remember.
Say it out loud back to them when you meet them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, Reggie. Hey, Reggie, how you doing?
Oh, no,
that don't work for me.
Yeah, that does not help me.
Yeah.
That does not help me. I feel terrible, because then I'll see people that they know, we both know that I've seen them before and that I've been introduced.
Guy.
And I'm just like,
my man. What's sorry, up,
friend.
My man?
Sorry, friend. I cannot remember your name, and it's not your fault. It's all me.
What's up, big dog?
What's happening, chief? How you living?
Salute to all the teachers, too, that had to remember a bunch of names, man.
Yeah.
I would be sitting there snapping my finger. Hey, cat with the red.
Yeah.
You in the red. Come here. Man, I love, speaking of the draft, I love going to these draft parties and all that stuff, man. I always have a good time. Even last night, even though the storm slid by a little bit, mm-hmm. I still had a good time. But, man, I got to confess, man, I think it's time to step back a little bit from the draft parties, man.
Oh, just as in general?
Right now. I think, look, I understand if you have a top 10 pick
mm-hmm.
or, hell, top 15, I'm mm-hmm. fine with that. But, man, we going hard for 25, man.
Yeah.
And it's so unpredictable, man. And this is exactly what they probably didn't want to happen, mm-hmm. just trade out totally.
Yeah.
Because even leading up to it, we was kind of estimating – when the pick was going to happen
or whatever. Yeah.
That's a long time, man. Mm-hmm. So like Mark Vandermeer and them, they was out there at 6.
Yeah.
And fans were out there. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of people out there ready.
Mm-hmm.
And you sitting out there for about 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
That's tough, man. I'm not saying they should have anything,
mm-hmm.
but we got to be in the bar or something, man.
Yeah. Go back to where it was 2 years ago. And that outdoor amphitheater.
Yeah, but
the Miller Theater.
Yeah, that was cool. I think
but they also had the top pick.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think we got to go to a little smaller pub or something like that, man.
I like the feel of having like the whole.
That's 25, man. That's the 25th pick, man. That's a long time. And look, I'm not complaining at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had a good time regardless. But we gonna do this every year?
Would it be fun at NRG Stadium? Especially if it's like on the field as opposed to like just in, you know what I mean?
That might be something.
They had it at NRG Stadium before. I don't know.
Was it on the field?
Club level.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if it was.
Club level would be cool.
That's where they drafted Deshaun, I remember.
Yeah. I was actually working on the street team during that time.
Yeah.
But I think something like that cool. But the big old draft party like that, man, I think that. And people still gonna come out to support. Mm-hmm. So don't get me wrong, but. That's tough. You got the 25th pick,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think they're going to be bad anytime soon. So they probably going to be picking between the 20s and the 30s going forward. So that's tough, man, especially with Trader Nick trading out and mm-hmm. all that stuff, man. That's a tough call, man.
Well, it's funny you guys both had something about the draft party. My confession is about the draft party, but it's similar.
A32 said draft to Figgy's house.
It's similar.
We can invite the GOAT, too.
It's similar but different. Cal and Hannah, you know I love you.
Oh, no.
ISO! I want no parts of that.
Yeah.
This is confessions. You know I love you, Cal and Hannah. It's really, I can't even see Figgy. He's left the room in there.
Hey,
there
I don't even want to be on that camera. I'm stepping away from the camera.
You stepped away from the camera, too.
I want no part of this.
All right, so again, you know I love you. Most of this was not even your fault. But between the crowd was good, but it wasn't like, it wasn't, you know.
You're blaming them for the crowd?
The crowd wasn't great. It was good. It wasn't great. There was a storm, a hard thunderstorm that came through.
They don't control the weather.
There was a long wait, as Figgy just mentioned. And after the rains, a few of the TVs outside went out. So it was okay altogether. And I think they would probably say that as they're reviewing it. But here's my confession as a result of all that. I actually had a better time at my house draft party that we went, because we left with about... It was about pick 16 to 18, I want to say. I think we were. And then we Ubered to my house. I ordered a couple of pizzas and opened the bar and had some wine open and all that. I had more fun there. Sorry. Confession.
No, I think that was.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, like, I think a lot of people like watching the games and stuff at the house more than like being at a big bar or a big old event, something like that.
Well, I think it's important to remember that it's because in part of the way that the thing came down because of the weather. Like, if
it wasn't necessarily out of their control. It was out of their control.
If the weather had not hit and all those other factors, I think we would have continued having more fun out there. But it's because of all of that, and then we had to try and, like, move inside with, like, contingencies as people were, like, making things up on the fly. Yeah. If you're not doing that, or if you're doing that, being at the house is a little bit more fun, right? And just, you know, sipping on a bourbon and eating pizza. Like, that feels a little bit more fun than but when everybody's out there and it's lively and you got the food trucks popping and music and mariachis, like, no, that was a lot more fun than just if we had been there.
And so it was great. I mean, and again, you guys talked about this. Just talking to so many listeners was awesome.
Dude.
Yeah. It was so awesome.
No, shout out to Jen and Perry, whose names I definitely remember.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How could you forget?
I never.
No, that part, I will say this, that part I do miss because I realize it's been a minute since I actually sat at home to watch the draft because I'm usually working here or at the draft party and all that stuff. It's been a minute since I was at home. Just let's eat a pizza and just watch the draft and enjoy the television part of it instead of being out and about.
832 said, fine, draft at John's house. He's making brisket.
10,000 people show up.
His house not good. It's not set up for all that. And I guess maybe I was about to say a final little confession. I completely forgot it. So anyways, those are the confession. Oh, no, here we go. Final little confession. I feel like with you guys getting a small taste of me watching basketball, you guys need to just see, like, the full experience of me watching basketball in, like, its real environment. So we might need to do, like, a Rockets watch party before this series is over, like, amongst us. And
it's
watch
fun.
The game.
It was fun. I had both TVs going and popping back and forth. Now you see what I talk about. I got the big TV and then I pop into the next room and it's right there where the bar is. So
I mean, it's cool.
How
but
convenient.
It's cool, but it don't work the same as having them both right there in front of you. However, and from the 713, you know what would probably help the draft? Do we need an entertainment district near the stadium?
Hey, that's my guy right there, or girl. Okay. Yeah.
Thanks for texting in, Hannah. No, I was playing. That's, that's our lunchtime confessions here. On Sports Radio 610.
Oh, you missed one, man.
What's that?
You missed the one we was talking about. Remember we was laughing at
John? Oh, yes. Figgy, you're the best producer in the world. Tell me why, ladies and gentlemen. My confession is I make fun of John Lopez for being old or what have you. And I mean, he's pretty hip. He keeps himself together and in touch with a lot of things. However, there was one thing that happened yesterday that I got to admit, as soon as I saw it, made me bust out laughing because I thought, wow, this is like the most I am old with technology thing that I've ever seen in the world. So everybody, you know, has some level of streaming service. We all live in 2025. Mm-hmm. And when you have your streaming service, especially if you're going to just use it, what do you name your profile? You just have a very simple name.
713-572-46.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
You have a very simple name on your profile.
Yeah.
So Lopez in his house has Hulu. And we were watching stuff on Hulu.
It was two people on
the
account.
And it's two people on the account. It's him and his wife.
Yeah.
The lovely Jan.
Yeah.
And so Jan's account is named Jan. You want to know what Lopez's account is named? John P. Lopez.
You're damn right it is.
He put the whole, I'm surprised it didn't say John Philip Lopez. How do you put your whole name on your account? I bet you spent probably about 15 minutes typing that in because you had to move around the board with your remote as opposed to using a keyboard to type it in.
You got to be short as possible.
No,
man.
John like, P. Lopez. Like that's
mine,
my account.
Mine, you'll see.
He capitalized them too.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Mine, F-I-G. That's all you need to know. Fig.
No, man. John P. Lopez.
Man, that is
By the way, I've got
that. Is that all the accounts?
No, I've got, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I've got like four or five. They're all John P. Lopez.
Man.
John Hulu, Amazon Prime.
That man's afraid that somebody's going to jump into his account and be like, oh, actually, this is the wrong person. Sorry, it's a different John.
You're dang right.
Unbelievable.
I would have put the initials JPL.
No, man. No,
man. Keep it short as possible, man.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. We've enjoyed talking about the draft, even if not everybody's enjoyed the way that it felt falling through. Day two should provide some new Texans that we'll see. However, that's not the only sports thing happening in this weekend. Obviously, the Astros have a 3-game set on the road against Kansas City, and the Rockets are back in action. So let's talk a little bit about the Rockets. Heading to Game 3, what are the questions that we're hoping that we have for Game 3 of Rockets-Warriors? We'll talk about those next. All right. Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Been fun today as we've continued talking about the draft, getting ready for round two of the draft, which you can hear right here on Sports Radio 610. Getting you ready for the draft in round two as well will be The Drive, who are broadcasting live at Blue Water Seafood out there on FM 1960. It's 12914 FM 1960 if you're looking for the exact address. So Clint and Ron will be out there getting ready on the crawfish tour as that continues rolling on for round two of the NFL draft. So go out and see the fellas out there. But also getting ready for the weekend in Houston sports. The Astros got a 3-game set on the road versus Kansas City. And then the Rockets on the road as well, continuing the first round series versus the Warriors. It's tied 1-1 after the Rockets got a big time victory on Wednesday. And tomorrow they get back at it. We gave the update from Shams Charania about Jimmy Butler, where Jimmy is dealing with a gluteus maximus contusion, something to that effect. But
his butt hurts.
That is one way you could say it.
Yeah.
I think that is technically correct.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's fully correct, but it's technically correct nonetheless. But yes, Jimmy Butler, serious doubt is what Shams Charania says about his particular or his outlook on Game 3. So what are the questions? What are some of your outlooks headed into Game 3 of this series coming up Saturday, 7:30 on ABC?
Well, I think, you know, Rockets, you know, and Ime Udoka, you know, talking this week after Game 2, about he wants the chippiness. You know, we've kind of been, I guess, complaining, but not too harshly about, like, this is really a lot.
I haven't complained at all about the chippiness. Well, the thing I would
complaining about how they're letting it happen so much is what my thing was.
I'm not even, the thing I complain about is just officiating missing, like, the obvious stuff, right? Like, who the ball is out on, which I don't think deals with the physicality. And the other thing is is actual, like, shenanigans, antics, as I like to call it, which I don't think fall within the regular notion of the chippiness.
Yeah.
It's the dude doing nonsense, and more often than not, it's just Draymond Green. I'm okay with a physical game on both sides of the basketball. Yeah. I think it's the nonsense that really gets me more.
But
than
at least to my question is, and it's a big one. I mean, it's huge in this series more because of that. How is it going to be officiated?
Yeah.
You know, they send, after every game, they send tape of so-and-so holding Steph Curry and so-and-so pushing Jalen Green and some of these calls that are not being made. And frankly, as you well know, I mean, the NBA does sort of talk about these things with their officials, the head of officiating on certain things and what they should maybe focus on more, even from game to game. So if it's officiated a little stricter, the Rockets were already in a little bit of foul trouble early on.
Yeah.
In game two. Jalen Green got two. Dylan Brooks got two. Eventually, a man got three.
Well, those guys ended up with, I think, three at various points.
So that's one question I have. But most of my questions have to do with, you know, can they take advantage? Can they take advantage of kind of a one-man show over there in Golden State because, so, you know, because that's – Steph's having a hard time by himself.
Right.
Yeah.
Can we stick with that kind of physicality point and the officiating and how that goes?
Mm-hmm.
If you do get a, you know, a light whistle where they're calling the game very tight and not allowing you to do the thing that I've clamored for, which is leaning on Steph Curry and applying that physicality that this team does so well, what is the path for this team if they cannot use one of the best tools for them in that physicality? Because they still do have a lot of athleticism to be able to stay in front of things, but that Warriors team likes getting that motion offense and getting guys running, and if you can't kind of lean on them, I do wonder, or do you feel like there's still that path forward, or do you think that there would need to be like a quick switch in the way that they play and do something different?
No, I think there is a path forward because the Rockets are a deeper team. You know, you almost... You're in a good spot either way because if they don't call it tight, you can get away. You can be yourselves, you know. If they do, you're deeper. But now you get the second thing to that is you better get some performances out of these guys off the bench, you know, that might have to play more minutes than you would expect, and that means knocking down shots. You
know, yeah.
And as much as they knock down shots, I think it was 37%.
37.5% if memory serves correctly, but I'll double check here in a moment.
Most of that was because of Jalen Green and who was the other one that knocked down a bunch. But either way, Jabari, I guess. But either way, like Dylan Brooks was okay. Fred VanVleet was not okay. You know, you spread it around more. More people knocking down more shots.
So when it came down to it, 37.5% was indeed the percentage of three-pointers made. 8 of 18 by Jalen Green.
Mm-hmm.
The only other people to knock down multiple three-pointers, Dylan Brooks, who was 2 of 5, Tari Eason, who was 2 of 2. He made both of the three-pointers that he had available to him. But, yeah, I guess that is interesting. That is a fair point to bring up is if you are not having a Jalen Green extravaganza, what does the three-point shooting look like? And I guess let's go there with Jalen Green. Do you – like? On the spectrum of game one Jalen Green to game two Jalen Green, right? Where in there do you anticipate game three Jalen Green falling?
Somewhere below that. And this is the guy that was, you know, I'm the guy that was talking about give me 28, give me 30. And sure enough, he outdid himself and gave us 38. If you're getting this Şengün, and that's the other part of the thing, you know, my question is, can you just keep doing this? Because he's been, you know, really effective, you know, in the middle. And his little push shot, you know, and all that stuff. If you get a similar game, what was it, 27 and 16, something like 23 and 16?
From game one?
From game two, Şengün.
Game two, he was a little bit.
Or is it 17 and 16?
Yeah,
17 and 16. Yeah. But if you get the same game out of him, all you really need from Jalen Green is a good percentage shooting the threes and 23 to 25 points.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the 20s.
Now, obviously, Steve Kerr is not a fool of a head coach, even though him, you know, crying, what about the children, did kind of perplex. But naturally in a series, you're going to have adjustments. Did you see any places where the Warriors can make some adjustments, or is just being relatively shorthanded, especially superstar-wise, with Jimmy Butler having serious doubts of playing here, which seems like he's all but ruled out, although he has not officially been ruled out. I want to make that clear. Does it feel like he just doesn't have much in his bag to get to, or do you see any potential adjustments against this Rockets team?
No, I absolutely do. I mentioned this to you off air. I was perplexed. I was confused, especially once Jimmy Butler went out, why he didn't just go zone almost all the time. It was like they stayed in man into the second quarter.
Yeah, which the zone
and it killed them.
The zone was something that frustrated the Rockets greatly in game one, obviously without the shot making. That helps as well, but it cut out a lot of that backdoor cutting.
Why are you playing man when you're shorthanded like that?
It didn't allow Alperen Şengün to get the one-on-one matchups that he can absolutely feast on when he's playing against smaller players.
But even Jalen Green, you're playing man against Jalen Green, he's just smoking you. Now, obviously, we appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
But you know, if you ask what an adjustment I'd make, don't be proud. Mix in different zones, you know, and I think you make life a little harder for the Rockets.
Okay, so are we going to see Steve Kerr throw more zone at the Rockets, and how do they respond? Because they had struggles when the Warriors went into zone. Even in game two, it was a very short period, and it felt like they were able to shoot their way out of it to some degree. I know Fred kind of dribbled through some of the defenses at times as well, but you know, I know that we cannot depend on the Rockets to be a great three-point shooting team. If they get in that zone, How do you bust the Warriors out of it?
Yeah, look, I think that becomes much more of my first point knock down some shots.
Yeah, just not make not, shots and don't let them.
No, it's a very simple formula. You know, everybody knows it from middle school on. You know, get them out of the zone.
Yeah,
get them out of the zone. And I think Şengün needs to be an adjustment in terms of, you know, where, how he's getting the ball and how quickly he's getting rid of the ball.
Yeah.
On, because you can, and you know this, but you can do a baseline cut on a zone relatively easily because the back end drops, but they don't drop all the way to the baseline. So as soon as he catches it and turns and finds the right guy, that's a possibility. The
other quick, question, deliberate pace.
Yes, is, quick, yeah. Quick and fast on the cut. As soon as he catches it, someone's cutting, you know, on the backside, especially where there's only one guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
You said you had a...
Yeah, the other thing that I think is really important is, and this is a big question because it could come down to this, can you keep knocking down free throws?
Oh.
Can you keep knocking down? Because they're bad at it.
Well,
but they were good at it in game two.
Here's the other thing, right? Yeah. We talked about this for game one, but I think it applies once more in game three. Do jitters show up?
Mm-hmm.
Because you started your playoff at home.
Mm-hmm.
Now you go on the road. And a playoff road environment is a different beast.
Yeah.
And you've been in these. You've covered these. For some reason, it just pops up in a different way. The psychology happens. Mm-hmm. How are they going to be able to neutralize that? Or will there be some level of period of adjustment? And mm-hmm. does that allow a team who is hampered by not having Jimmy Butler to stay in a game that they probably, or that you hope that they shouldn't be in?
Yeah. Yeah. No, look, you know, that's one of those. That's a very good point. I think they're going to, well, I shouldn't say they. I think Jalen Green settled in. I think he settled in game two. Now, it might be different on the road, but how other guys respond. And
then role players is what typically.
That's exactly
what
I was going to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I just agree. I think, you know, how do the other guys who are going to get more minutes, you would think, in this type of situation, especially if it's called tightly, how are they going to respond? And then the last thing, the last question.
Really last time this time?
Yeah, I really mean it this time. What are you going to get out of Draymond? Because if Draymond just...
A technical!
Yeah.
An ejection!
He could just kill his own team here by just going nuts, which is very, very likely.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Excited to see what the Rockets do against the Golden State Warriors. And if guys can keep from losing the plot, like stay on...
Yes.
Did you also notice, as I did, Dylan Brooks, I love when he can get into his bag a little bit when he starts posting up mm-hmm. and then getting that mid-range mm-hmm. turnaround when he needs to or whatever. But then the only thing I don't like about it is he sees it go through and he's like, well, now that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're just going to take a whole bunch of these. I'm like, hey, get a few of those and then go back to what we were doing before. You don't have to
stay
there.
It gets good to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And real quick, did you see yesterday? Actually, I think you did.
Mm-hmm.
We watched some of this game. The Thunder, the Oklahoma City Thunder, basically put Memphis in the dirt because mm-hmm. They're now up 3-0. They were up 2-0, but they had a terrible game mm-hmm. in their first game on the road in this series in Memphis.
Yeah.
And it seemed like Memphis was up by like 20-something at one point.
29
at one point. And the Thunder come all the way back to win. And that is, they completed the largest comeback from a halftime, or largest halftime deficit comeback victory in NBA playoff history. And the second largest comeback playoff victory at all. So it feels like Memphis now down 0-3.
Yeah. Jaw's hurt.
After giving that back. Yeah. And then having Jaw have a fall in the second mm-hmm. quarter, this mm-hmm. feels like that one's just done. That's going to be a sweep.
Yeah, it's effectively over.
Yeah. All right. No, it's just over. You can just say it's over. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go back to the draft. Who are the winners and losers of the first round? And also, this allows us to circle back around to now, how does the entirety of the second round play out in your mind? 713-572-4610. Let us do it next.